is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And we're checking in with Roseburg State Representative Gary Leaf. Gary, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, it's about time, Kyle. Jeez, try to get on this program. And it's been crazy up there. You know, I love being on your show. Thanks for having me. You've asked me about a dozen times, and every time you ask me, I've either got a committee or we're floor session or something. But, you know, I just really appreciate the opportunity to speak to the listeners out there. And there's so much happening at the Capitol. In such a unusual manner. I mean, so this is a great chance to kind of share some key information and ask some questions. But this is where we need to talk. I want you to understand the system is so complicated up there that it's not a yes or no answer. So fire away, Kyle.
Well, first of all, let's talk about one of the things that shifted this week that allowed actually this interview to happen. And we got the announcement earlier in the week about a COVID-19 issue related to the House.
Yeah. Last Friday, one of the caucus members came down with COVID. And we're not all vaccinated. And so, per the speaker's rules, she had to send everybody home for quarantine, you know, just to be safe. So we ended up with the week off, but I'm telling you, in my committees, like yesterday, I started at 7 in the morning, and I didn't end my committee until 8:30 last night. So it's not like we're getting days off. We're just working from home right now. And we go back and start our floor sessions on Monday, which will be really interesting because now we've got a whole week's worth of bills that we weren't, you know, able to hear. So it's probably going to be long, grueling hours again.
And so does that put you technically still in quarantine now?
Yeah, I'm in quarantine right now.
Wow. It's amazing with the technology, things roll on with the virtual meetings, the phone calls, the opportunities to connect. It's been one of the odder sessions in a lot of ways just because of the logistics related to COVID. Now, there was a shift as well in the House for quite a while. The GOP was insisting that all the bills be read completely, and that was resulting in these really lengthy sessions.
Yeah, so that was a negotiation between the Speaker and our Republican Minority Leader, Christine Drazen, and there were some things that, you know, were really important to the Republicans, and they just couldn't, they butted heads until, I guess it was about a week and a half ago when the Speaker finally caved in and Drazen finally caved in. They kind of both came to some terms, and one of them is on redistricting. It's a huge issue, especially up in the metro area. It's not such a big deal down here, but when you weight it to where one side or the other, doesn't matter if it's the Democrats or the Republicans are, you know, the minority, then it, you know, they're going to do it in their favor. And so the agreement they came up with was equal representation.
And do you feel like that was the right answer?
Yeah, I still think, honestly, it shouldn't even be the legislators that are even doing that. It should be a nonpartisan committee, and that's what they're pushing for right now. And the nonpartisan should be able to draw the lines. And what happened, Kyle, back in like 2001, because they do this every 10 years, is it ended up where the Democrats walked, actually, in 2001 to stop the gerrymandering from the Republicans on redistricting. And so then it went to the Secretary of State, who at that time was a Democrat, and that Secretary of State, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, kind of gerrymandered the line. So they did this wheel and spoke, and honestly, it's kind of brilliant on their side. I mean, they gobbled up, you know, where you have the majority of people in Portland, and then they went far out into the rural areas in this wheel and spoke thing, and they gobbled up all of the rural conservative areas, and there was a majority of people from the Portland area that just outweighed them. And so 20 years later, you know, we're still dealing with that. And I think that's why, you know, they have a super majority.
Do you feel like this process will be, however it ends up shaking out, is going to be taken care of in time for looking towards 2022?
You know, it's going to be 2023, I think, before we really feel how that pans out. And, you know, I think that I think it's really important to understand that that in the Portland area, it's really complicated because, you know, that's where they have like 2 million people up there, or however many it is. And to effectively, you know, split that up into blocks, it's going to be kind of a hard issue for them.
As we go through this legislative session, one of the main things this time is the crafting of the next state budget. Talk about where that's at in the process and how you see the priorities coming down.
So the last 2-3 years that I've been up in Salem, I've been on two Ways and Means subcommittee. I was on one, business and labor, then I got on another one, which was public safety. I'm still on that. And then I'm on transportation and economic development. So the last 2-3 years I've been on those two. And it kind of gave me a real understanding. That was about $15 billion of the $30 billion of our budget. Well, then... and I think this is where it's really important where you are working as a moderate up in Salem, because, you know, if you're throwing grenades, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you're working with both parties, it doesn't mean that you have to agree, but you're respectful. You know, they appreciate and respect your opinion. And the speaker put me on full Ways and Means this year, which is an honor, because most people, it takes years to get on full Ways and Means. And so that's where, I mean, they're going to be doing $80 billion, I mean, the whole budget. And listening to testimony the last 2-3 nights from 5:30 to 7:30, constituents all over the state of Oregon talking about what's important, you know, to them in the budgets, it's a real honor, but it's going to be a huge undertaking to try and put this all together. And I'm the new kid on the block, so I'm just being respectful up there. I heard from one of the longest serving legislators that I'm one of the more respected Republicans up there on the other side, and that's an honor for me. At least I can get through the door and say, you know, this won't work for rural Oregon, and can we, you know, get this funding, you know, can we put more money in education? Can we try and fix the homeless? You know, where can we kind of move that money around? So it'll be interesting to see through the whole process, you know, how successful I am.
While the most recent state revenue forecast was much rosier than most people expected, one of the things right now, though, is the infusion of federal funds due to COVID-19 and some of the other things going on from Washington, D.C. right now, which appears to be going to have a big impact on what's available. How do you figure out just how much to spend, how conservative to be when you're looking at financial outlays?
Yeah, you know, this is the ARPA dollars, American Rescue Act plan. I think Oregon's getting, $1.4 billion infusion. And there's other monies that are coming down, transportation, you know, education. And I think what's really important is, you know, that we wrap our head around as many dollars as we can pull from the feds in their dollars to either expand or enhance, you know, important legislation in the state. And so I'll give you kind of a good example. So I've been championing trying to get sewer. I'm trying to find my bill right here. Septic. So I've been, you know, really kind of championing that, and we only wanted $2 million, you know, from the state, and the state saying we don't have any money, but we might be able to pull money from the ARPA dollars to be able to either enhance that or expand it, you know. And I think there's 44,000 septic sewer systems that are failing right now in Oregon. So they have this revolving fund that I championed it back in 2019, and I'm doing it again. And so that's where I think federal dollars are really important. And then, you know, probably the biggest one is transportation. You know, that's probably the most money coming down the pipe, and making sure that ODOT has, you know, all their plans ready, and that we can get as many of these dollars into Oregon as possible.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Gary Leaf, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. On Monday, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf joining us now. And during this session, you've had all these virtual meetings and, of course, less time in the Capitol by far. What's it been like to not get that in-person contact from residents of this area and others?
You know, there's a good side to this, and then there's a bad side. So the good side is that you don't have to drive hours and hours to go up to the Capitol to meet with your legislators now. I mean, you just have to contact them by email or by phone. And my chief of staff does a phenomenal job, you know, scheduling 5 to 10 minute meetings. And normally we would do that, you know, kind of in the hallways and, you know, in our office and stuff like that. But I feel like I'm meeting more people. Now, my staff's not meeting more because they would normally be up there and they would be talking to the people going through the halls and, you know, have, you know, and then when we touch base, they'd go, you know, hey, Gary, I talked on Bill XYZ, and, you know, this person has some really good ideas, and I want you to look at it. I don't have that, you know, this time. But honestly, with the COVID scares right now, I'm not sure this is quite the right time to open up the Capitol. But like I say, I'm meeting with more people than I normally do.
As you go through and have these various meetings, I know, you mentioned full Ways and Means, but talk about some of the other committees you're involved with.
Oh, yeah. So I'm, like I said, I'm on two of the subcommittees, and I'm vice chair of a committee, too. So I'm vice chair of the General Government Committee, which is an honor. I'm also vice chair of the Human Services Committee. So that's DHS, Children's Service. That's a huge committee. And then involved with the Water Commission, I'm on that committee. and then Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee, and then Ways and Means Transportation and Economic Development. And then I'm also on the Sportsman's Caucus, which is another one, and then Ways and Means. So our committees right now have listened to, you know, over 1,000 of these bills that have come through the committees, not just mine, but divvied up between a couple dozen committees. We're almost at the end of that right now. So once that goes on the floor and is voted to move forward, it goes to the Senate. Well, now we're going to start getting Senate bills over on our side. So our committees will kind of start back up. Now they have less, way less bills than we do. They're limited. And so the process might go a little faster. But let's say I have a bill that goes through the House and then the Senate says, oh, we want to tweak it a little bit. Well, then it'll come back to our committee. So it's kind of this back and forth until finally, you know, it gets voted through both the House and the Senate and the governor signs it.
You mentioned in past interviews, I don't remember if it was a committee or subcommittee, but involved in water.
So water is a big, huge committee. So I have one of my bills right now is actually two bills is a relief bill for homeowners or renters who can't pay their water or their sewer. And so that's made it through. And then I started another bill, which is through the electricity. So your power bill and stuff like that. So we're trying to come up with relief funding for people who've been out of work, you know, the whole last year with this, you know, due to COVID, and they're stuck at home because they have to be with their kids and there's no school. And they're having a tough time right now. So two great bills. Like I said, one's the water relief bill, a water sewer. And is that what you mean, Kyle?
Right. No. Yeah. We were talking about that in a past interview, and you were particularly happy to be able to get involved in the work of that committee.
Yeah, really. You know, I'm lucky on my general government and on my water committee. The one thing that the chairs have said, and the chairs are Democrats because it's Democrat controlled, but the chairmen have come and said, look, if we can't get bipartisan support on these bills going through committee, they won't make it. And that's the way it should be. You know, it shouldn't be all the Republicans love this bill and the Democrats hate it and we're moving it through or vice versa. You know, it should be bipartisan. You know, we got a problem right now and I'm distressed about, you know, what's going on because the clearly there's a divide up in Salem. I mean, the left has gone further left. The right has gone further right. But I believe we need to legislate from the middle. You know, I think that we've got to bring our state back together. It's got to be in a bipartisan manner. Kyle, you know I'm a moderate. And so you asked me about those committees. That's the right way. But out of, I think, a couple dozen, I think there's only just a handful of chairs that do that. Otherwise, they're pushing everything through or killing everything.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What kinds of things are on your agenda in the next few days?
You know, education. I think probably one of my biggest goals is to improve education, the funding, the process. It can be done in a bipartisan manner. I told you about my great CTE K-14 bill that I brought through. Really excited about that. Like I say, it's complicated. It's now being sent to a work group, which I'll be in charge of with staff, which is unusual. But the system is just real complicated up there. A great bill, it'll probably come back out of committee or out of the work group, and it'll be, you know, great legislation for 2022. You know, that's this cumbersome process, and we just have to work at the best we can.
All right. State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on today.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. I love your show.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.